This is going to be the first of two very special shows on the Beacon. Mrs. Lainey Kleeman, about something very, very new as far as research is concerned. Maybe it's not that new. Maybe it's just new to me. But it sounds like it can revolutionize the way we look at eye disease and other diseases that affect the body.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a first of two shows, and it's called Genetic Research.
Okay.
You know, you've heard about
genetic string
and all of that
stuff,
and the whole business of replacing parts that either are missing or that are wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
And there are two opportunities to talk with two different research teams that are working specifically on things that relate to the eye. And it is absolutely fascinating what they've come up with, you know.
Even since we've been doing this show, in the 8 years we've been doing, the advancements in technology are pretty outstanding.
You know, it's like it was like an explosion.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody on the train the other morning, and she was saying that, because she has an eye problem, and she says, it's amazing how things have progressed since she first was diagnosed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Had I waited five more years with the onset of what I had, the glaucoma, I probably would have been seeing something today.
Really?
A little bit, not a lot.
Right.
Not enough to drive or anything.
Right.
But at least enough to, you know, be dangerous and walk on the crap and that sort of thing. But,
right.
But still, at least it would have been something. You know,
absolutely.
Dr. Dan Chung and Jamie Ring, they're from in the hospital that they work with in Philadelphia, escapes me. But they represent a company called, it's Sparks, isn't it?
Stark Research.
They are working on something, and it all has to do with inherited retinal disease.
Yep.
And that's right up Dr. Gerald Fishman's alley, because that's through the Pangaea Center of the retinal-related diseases, inherited retinal-related diseases at the Lighthouse. He's doing some fantastic stuff, and they've actually consulted with him.
Great.
So that should be an interesting thing that we'll be talking about. And then we have what coming up?
We have Miss Sandy Murillo.
Oh, yeah. She's back again with us.
She's back for Sandy's View.
Yes, and?
And then I am back for another installment of Let Us Turn Up the Beat.
You have a tidbit of information that we can hang on?
I do. We're going to discuss healthy mistakes that people make. Or, excuse me, mistakes that healthy people make. Yes.
Okay.
So you think you're being healthy by doing X, Y, and Z, but in fact, you might not be.
I am going to be looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting.
Stick around, because we have got the very interesting part one of two as we talk about genetics. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Every day, PACE is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends change plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular PACE buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard Pace Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the Pace Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PaceBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. Pace, connecting communities.
You know, at the Chicago Lighthouse, we kind of pride ourselves on having one of the renowned experts on retinal disease here, Dr. Gerald Fishman. He is in the Pangaea Center for Retinal Research and gets involved in a lot of projects on how to figure out how to, well, either prevent or at least to get to the point where it's manageable with some of the diseases that affect the retina, which is really the most critical part of the eye. At least I think so. It's the film of the camera, It's the part that is the most sensitive, but is very, very much prone to disease of one form or another. Joining us on the program this morning is Jamie Ring and Dan Chung. They're with Stark Corporation. Hey, welcome, both of you. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. We're doing great.
Morning. Yes, it's a pleasure.
Terrific. Now, you know, I've been talking to so many people over the last few weeks or so, and one thing seems to come full circle, is that genetics has a lot to do with a lot of different eye diseases, and you are primarily, I think your company primarily deals in working on how genetics can help resolve some of the issues that and some of the diseases that affect the retina. Tell me a little bit about the research that you guys have been doing.
So one of the main focuses of Spark Therapeutics here in Philadelphia, we're a leader in the field of gene therapy and looking at these diseases that really originate from a genetic origin. We're looking to do gene therapy, which is really a one-time therapeutic to try and alleviate and to basically improve the lives of people with these genetic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Spark, that's our main thrust, is to develop therapies and bring them to the people that really there's never been a therapy for.
Right. Is this the work that you're doing, is this alter the genetic makeup, or is it augment the genetic makeup of the person's DNA and that sort of thing?
Well, that's a great question. So gene therapy in the form that we do is exactly what you said. We augment the genetics of the individual, and basically we are trying to restore the missing function because of the defective gene by, as you say, augmenting a normal or a copy of the gene.
Now, you know, it sounds, to a lot of people, it sounds like science fiction, and it kind of gives them that deer in the headlight look. So when they start thinking about genetic therapy and augmenting it or altering it, where do you actually, you know, we all have a genetic string that makes up who we are, and is it along that string that either your treatment or your augmentation works to try and correct whatever has not been provided by nature?
Well, that's exactly it. As you had mentioned, that string or that sequence of DNA is what is found in a specific gene.
Mm-hmm.
And when that sequence or that spelling, a lot of times we say, is misspelled, we call that a mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And when those mutations occur in those genes, that's when we develop these diseases. So, and when that happens, usually it's because the gene isn't producing the protein or the substance that's needed to carry out the proper function. And by actually augmenting or adding a new gene with the correct sequence, mm-hmm. the correct spelling, we're able to produce that protein again and help to alleviate the course of disease. At least that's the goal. For us, obviously, we deal with genetic diseases of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, right now we're looking at RPE65 gene and the different retinal dystrophies or diseases that are associated with that. So we do this by something called a vector, and it really is all that is a delivery system.
I see.
And what we do is it's almost like a FedEx type of thing.
Sure.
We put the correct gene and this vector in which we then inject into the back of the eye, and so then the corrected gene is then delivered into the back of the eye. And this is really where the need for genetic testing really comes into play, because these are genetic diseases, and we really need to know and confirm the genetic origins of these diseases to really get a good understanding of the diagnosis.
You answered my question. My next question was going to be, how is this implemented? And you said where it's injected into the back part of the eye, or the where the retina actually is is where it attaches to the macula and all the rest of that. Are you still in testing stages on the type of work that you're doing right now with the current gene therapy?
So in our program, we've actually concluded the third phase of testing, and as you may know, the third phase is usually the last phase before we go to the regulatory agency, the FDA. So right now, we're in that mode of going through the data and making preparations for that presentation to the regulatory body.
How long have you been working on this? This sounds like something that didn't happen just within a year or so. You must have been working on this for quite a while.
It has been a long road, and there have been multiple components in this. I originally started at University of Pennsylvania, and a lot of this work was pioneered by Dr. Gene Bennett and Dr. Al McGuire in the preclinical work with the dogs that were used as a model of disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the preclinical work done there. Then Dr. Catherine High, in conjunction with Drs. Bennett and McGuire, started and a myriad of others, there's a huge team of people,
sure,
that are involved, started the clinical trials at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And then from there really was the impetus and the generation of Spark Therapeutics,
mm-hmm,
who is now responsible for the completion of the testing and preparation for the FDA, and then obviously further on to hopefully promote worldwide access if everything goes.
I see. Is this going to be, is Spark really going to be a self-sufficient, self-standing corporation or company after all of the FDA approval and the final testing is done?
So that's a great question. So Spark is currently a corporation. It's a publicly traded company.
Okay.
So the company was founded just over 2 years ago and had its IPO, which is that initial public offering, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now really kind of a standalone organization. And this is our lead program. The RPE65 program is our lead program, and we had, as Dan said, very successful results from the phase 3 trial, which,
sure,
now enables us to file for regulatory approvals. That said, we also have other research programs that we have initiated. So we have a second IRD condition, in fact, choroideremia, that's currently in a phase 1-2 trial. And then we also have other disease areas. We have programs in hemophilia, and then we also just announced a new program in neurodegenerative diseases. So our hope is, you know, as we said in the beginning, to become the leader in gene therapy treatments. As of now, there are no gene therapy treatments approved in the United States, and we're very excited to hopefully be the company to bring the first gene therapy, to the United States. And of course, in particular, it's very exciting that it could be for a retinal disease.
Sure. Yeah. You again answered one of the questions I was going to say. Are you only restricting yourself to the genetics with the eye? But it sounds like you're doing a lot more than that. That you're looking at other aspects of gene therapy and how it affects other parts of the body as well. Or am I wrong?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
But importantly, you know, the work that's being,
sure,
done in the retinal diseases, you know, is really, we've learned so much, and,
sure,
we'll continue to apply those learnings. You know, the other thing that's important to mention is, you know, as we are now into our second program in retinal diseases, we fully intend, you know, to continue seeking other potential uses for this treatment in other retinal disease mutations.
Okay.
So, you know, this kind of comes back to the importance of people who have retinal diseases in today's research environment, understanding what their specific genetic mutation might be, you know, because the way research is going, there are these gene-specific, research programs, not just at Spark, really all over the world taking place. So it's really a very unique and innovative time for retinal disease potential treatment.
You know, it's amazing that you should say that, because like I said earlier on when I was doing the introduction and that, it seems like it's a full circle type of thing where a lot of the research being done, some of the work being done even for glaucoma, I talked to a doctor about 6 or 8 months ago over at Northwestern University in Chicago here, and they had discovered, as they put it, the lock and key on what could be the cause of glaucoma, you know, with the Schlemm's canal and keeping that canal open so that the flow of the fluid doesn't, you know, build up in the eye. And again, it's a genetic type of thing that they're looking at too. So it seems like you guys have hit on, in the research world, you've hit on an area that's so important to be able to understand, and then to be able to augment or to you know, try to do something that would either change or alter that the genetics enough to, you know, prohibit a lot of these diseases. And it seems like what you're working on and what Dr. Fishman works on are some pretty exotic diseases, aren't they?
Yes, a lot of these diseases are somewhat rare, but the beauty of this is that we're really trying to affect the lives of folks that really didn't have any alternatives in the past, and, mm-hmm. and giving them hopefully an option that will improve the quality of life. With that said, though, we also learn a lot about gene therapy doing these that we hope to apply to maybe other diseases or pathologies that may be a little more common.
Sure.
So it's definitely a building tool.
You know, it sounds fascinating, and like I said, you're working on your second project now with the other product that you're dealing with, or the other form of working with the genetics and that. It sounds. When do you project that the current project that you're working on, when do you project that would get FDA approval and be on the market?
So at this time, we have announced that we'll be filing with the FDA
sure.
in 2016. So we, as Dan said, we're still going through the large quantity of data that's been gathered in the phase 3 study, and mm-hmm. we want to make sure we have a thorough and robust application that goes into FDA. So we'll be communicating with, you know, interested parties and, you know, anyone who follows SPARC. We'll be communicating with more detail, you know, when we expect to actually file. Because of the technology, we actually have what's considered breakthrough designation mm-hmm. by the FDA. And so that may help actually sort of speed up the review process a bit. So at this point, we don't have an exact time frame as to when this might be available,
sure.
more readily available outside of trials. But we'll have more information on that, you know, in next year.
How many people participated in the, and did you do it at different sites across the country as far as doing the testing, the clinical testing on it?
Yes. So in the first phase of the study, with the phase 1 study, we had 12 individuals, and they were done here at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. For the phase 3 study, we did expand that number, and that was done at 2 sites here in Philadelphia, again at Children's Hospital, and then we had a site at the University of Iowa as well. So it was a 2-site study there.
And how many participants did you have in the study?
We had a total of 31
okay.
In the phase 3 study.
You know, to a lot of people, they would say, oh, that sounds like a small cross section, but actually it's not when you're dealing with what you're talking about, because I'm sure certain criteria had to be met to become part of the clinical testing.
Yes, that's one of the things about a rare disease, but one of the things that we found is that even with this small group, we found that our endpoints, that they reached a very high level of statistical significance, and so even with the small subset, we did have some relatively robust results
sure.
Coming through.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. I'd like to stay in touch, because once you actually get the FDA approval and start the actual use of the genetic, is it a drug? Is it a It's obviously, since it's injected, it has to be a fluid or something. What would you call it? What would be, you know, like most people say, oh, well, it's either an injection or it's a oral treatment, that sort of thing. How would you classify it, is what I'm getting at.
I mean, I think at this point, we it's classified as a gene therapy treatment.
Okay.
Again, because that's not a very well, I mean, it's not a used treatment today.
Sure. Sure.
I think that, you know, as gene therapy becomes, you know, hopefully becomes a new way of treating, especially, you know, rare diseases, but genetic diseases, you know, for now, it's really just a gene therapy treatment or gene therapy procedure.
Okay, I think that's the best way to refer to it. Like I say, I'd like to stay in touch with you, find out, you know, what actually hits the market and see what kind of reaction that you get from it. But it sounds like that is the direction that a lot of research is going into, taking a look at the genetic makeup and then seeing how whatever research is being done can help either alter that or augment that to, you know, to try and prevent some of these diseases. And like you said, they're rare, so a lot of times it's not a large percentage of people that would benefit from it, but if one person benefits from it, that's the thing that counts more than anything else. Dan Chung and Jamie Ring, thanks a lot for joining us, from giving us the update on what you're doing here. And like I said, I'll stay in touch with you because I find this very, very fascinating, and I think it's the future of where being able to treat diseases that affect the eye and the retina. I think that's the direction that we're heading into.
Well, thank you so much for having us on the show. I might just mention that for anyone who's looking for more information about SPARC, please feel free to visit our website, where you can also sign up to receive company updates, and that's simply www.sparktx.com. And we just want to say thank you. You know, Dan and I both had a chance to visit Lighthouse back in September and met with Dr. Fishman and had a tour of the facility and got to meet a lot of the staff there. We also got to meet Ruben, who we understand is a local celebrity. And it's a wonderful group of people, and you're doing incredible work. So it's really our pleasure to be a part of this discussion.
Well, Ruben is a colleague of my dog, Lincoln. So, you know.
All right, well, next time we'll have to meet Lincoln, too, then.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Well, listen, I wish you guys the best. And like I said, I'll keep in touch and maybe register with the website so I can keep up with the updates that are going to be affecting this, what I think to be the next phase of eye treatment. The program's The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
1.4 million people in Illinois who really want to work can't. Financially, it doesn't make sense for them. You see, if they were employed, they'd lose Medicaid health coverage, and private insurance is almost impossible to get. This is the reality for people with disabilities. Meet Anna. She's single with severe diabetes. Anna couldn't work because no employer would provide health insurance, and she had to keep her income low enough for Medicaid. But now there is a solution for Anna, a state program called Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities. Anna can enroll in HBWD and get full health care benefits, even working part-time. If this sounds like someone you know, call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com. to learn more about health insurance for working individuals with disabilities. Move beyond your disability and take control. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com today.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it. Starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket. and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
The Beacon is here every Saturday morning. And if you would like to contribute to our program, do you remember any of this?
Do I remember any of it?
The address?
Oh, my gosh. No!
Why
do we have to do the address? Nobody's going to write us a letter. Just email us, people. Come into the 21st century, shall you? The water is fine.
No checks. We'll take debit cards.
Right.
Credit cards, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is... Well, we were just talking, too, off the air about how checks are pretty extinct now as well. I don't remember the address.
Don't worry about it.
I only come here once every couple of months.
But if you would like to send a donation for the Beacon, just send us to us here at the Chicago Lighthouse, care of the Beacon, 1850 West Roosevelt Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60608.
There it is.
Simple and clean.
Simple.
Just like this next feature with Sandra Morello, because what are we doing? We're going to get Sandy's view, and she's always... Oh, you know she does a lot of work on these segments?
Oh, I know she does.
She does an extremely...
She's all over. I mean, this girl, she really gets her hands into it.
All this, too, and she can cook.
That's amazing.
So here's Sandra Morello.
Jenkins Allen is the owner of Blue Bridge Legacy Restaurant, a restaurant in Joliet, Illinois, offering soul food and different types of cuisine. Jenkins is actually working on making her menus accessible and her services accessible. She has already made her menus available in Braille. And joining us to talk about that this morning is Jenkins Allen. Jenkins, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Wonderful. But tell us how you came up with the idea of making menus in Braille.
Well, just my experiences going to the restaurants, I noticed, you know, nobody really had anything for people with disabilities. You know, they were almost totally reliant on another person to, and I want them to feel comfortable, mm-hmm. and you know, be able to come out and do their own ordering and stuff without help if they don't need it.
Yeah, definitely. I know that's a that's a big problem. It's one of the biggest obstacles when you go out to eat. As someone who is blind or has significant vision loss, you might have to rely on others to read the menu.
Yeah.
Was there something or someone that inspired you? Because, you know, it's sad to say, but a lot of the larger business don't have such menus available. Is there something or someone that inspired you to do that? To provide the Braille menus?
No, I just noticed it. You know, I had a couple of customers come in, and, you know, when I used to go out, I used to see it, you know, and they always relied upon someone else to do the ordering or do the, you know, and I'm currently working on the TTY for deaf people also. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I want to be able to reach everyone.
Yeah, so in other words, you're making both the menus accessible and also communication accessible to people, like you said, who are deaf. And I think that's impressive, because not, you know, a lot of local business don't think of those types of things. You know, they might think it's a big cost or a huge burden. I know that when we were talking yesterday, you mentioned that a friend of yours was actually able to print the menus.
Yes, Mrs. Black out of Matteson, Illinois, I think it is.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, she offered to do it for me, and she didn't want to be exposed, so I don't want to bring her name out. So.
Okay. Great, and then just for that, you know, so that other businesses know, and the Beacon is broadcast, can be heard throughout the United States on our website, but there are many resources, you know, for businesses that will provide these types of menus to, you know, and it's great when there's a person, a local friend or something. But there are also other businesses that can help out with this. So going back to a little bit about the restaurant, what type of food do you sell?
It's basically American. It's a Southern American Southern style cuisine. We have from fried green tomatoes to fried bologna. We have smothered pork chops, meatloaf, catfish, shrimp, barbecue ribs, chicken. You know, just a variety of foods. You know, it's just Southern style cooking.
So a little bit of everything, huh?
Yes.
All right, well, that's perfect for our audience, you know, if they want to go later on to eat or, you know, celebrate a special occasion.
Yes, and I can hold up to about 50 people, yes.
So, okay. And where is the restaurant located exactly?
It's on the famous Route 66, uh-huh. And Joliet is Route 53. They run together, Route 66 and Route 53.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm minutes away from the Harris Casino and about 10 miles away from the Route 66 racetrack.
Okay.
It's 1215 North Broadway.
1215 North Broadway.
Yes.
Great. So, and what's a good number where the audience can reach you in case they have any questions or comments?
815-72... Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got my own phone number. 7-2-6-2-4-2-2. I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
But believe me, this is pre-recorded and we edit it.
Oh.
So don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry. Could you repeat that again once you have it?
Yeah, 815-726-2422.
Great, and then going back to the menus, how many menus do you have? Is it just one, two? How many is it?
Well, in Braille, we have seven.
In seven Braille menus. So it's...
Yeah, and if I need more, I can also get it. So.
Great. Well,
and I also do catering.
Oh, do you do?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Well, there you have it, and I know that our Lainey Kleeman segment, Let Us Turn Up the Beat, will be coming up soon, and, you know, she also talks about food, and so this is a perfect complement to her segment.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything else you want to add or share with the audience?
Like I said, I do have room for about 49, 50 people, and it also has a full-scale bar in it.
Wonderful. So that's, you know, soul food and the bar, and best of all, it's accessible to everyone. That's
yes, we have the ramp for the wheelchair, you know, disabled people to get up. So, and that's all I can think of.
Great. Well, that's more than enough. Well, again, we congratulate you for making these efforts to make your business more accessible and inclusive. So, can you repeat the address of the Blue Bridge Legacy restaurant?
Okay, the Blue Bridge Legacy Restaurant on Route 66, 1215 North Broadway in Joliet, Illinois, 60435.
Great, and can we have the phone number again, please?
815-726-2422.
All right, well, thank you so much, Jenkins, and good luck.
All right, thank you.
The longer you live in retirement, the more you'll receive in Social Security retirement benefits. Visit our life expectancy calculator to see how long you might be able to receive retirement benefits. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov/planner/lifeexpectancy.hcf.
You can't choose your relatives, but you can choose your guide dog school. And when you enroll at Guiding Eyes for the Blind, you become part of a nurturing family that's dedicated to your success. Guiding Eyes cares about you from the moment you enroll and every day that you're partnered with a Guiding Eyes dog. That means you'll have access to expert advice, visit from instructors, and even a fund to help pay for your dog's care. Guiding Eyes knows that everyone's different, and they have a whole menu of program options to fit your lifestyle, including a program for you to be trained at home. Guiding Eyes is the family you choose and can depend on forever.
Before I made my choice, I did my homework, and I found that Guiding Eyes was the best place for me.
Visit guidingeyes.org to find out more, or call Guiding Eyes for the Blind toll free at 1-800-942-0149.
Well, we're up to you.
We are.
sure. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's going to be
your turn. Hey, bada, bada, bada.
That's right.
All
right. Get up to the plate over there and give it a couple of swings. And
let's do it.
We are going to get some vital information on a topic that I find very interesting. So let us turn up the beat.
Without further ado, this is another two-parter. So
okay.
I'm going to do half this week and half next week. But the topic today is 27 mistakes healthy people make. And I actually don't have 27. No,
okay.
I think I have 12. I think I narrowed it down to 12. So, mistake number one, always buying organic is actually not necessarily advised. It's wise for certain foods such as beef or strawberries, but it doesn't make much of a difference for others like avocados or eggs. And I think the general rule that I like to follow is if it's got a thick skin on it that you peel away, the amount of pesticide that goes into the food that you're actually eating, like the meat of the food, is much, it's minimal compared to like a strawberry where you eat the whole thing and the pesticides go directly onto it. So you don't want to assume that all organic foods are healthy than non-organic options, or that organic equals healthy either, because if you buy an organic high sugar, high calorie, you know, whatnot at the grocery store, it's not going to be any healthier for you than the non-organic.
You know, my
version.
Grocery stores are usually out of whatnots, though.
Yeah.
They're trying to find something else.
Just go to the other one.
Uh-huh.
Go to the Jewel. They usually have the whatnots.
That's true. That's right.
So this week isn't going to be all about food. It's just going to be kind of about healthy habits
sure.
to keep
sure.
us, to optimize our health. Mistake number two that healthy people make, skimping on sleep. So if you think it's a good idea to get up at 5 a.m. and hit the gym, not necessarily. Good news for me. You should actually be sleeping instead. And if you don't get enough, studies have consistently shown that people need at least 7 hours of sleep for optimal health.
Oh, pfft. I'm done.
Yeah, I know. You and me both. Short sleep or not enough sleep has been associated with a host of health problems such as high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, and actually a reduced immune response to vaccines as well. So it is really, and I feel it, like my body, I think ever since TJ's been born and he's almost four, I feel like I've aged 10 years in 4 years,
Which you still look modest.
Thank you, darling. Yeah. But it just feels, I definitely feel a change in my body.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I mean, even just looking at my face, I just feel not revitalized ever.
Yeah, you wake up tired.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think sleep is a big one. Next is being a germaphobe. Washing your hands, hand sanitizer, everything. Your body needs that immunity. And we all know people who always have their hand sanitizer and wash your hands. It's important to wash your hands, absolutely, after you go to the restroom, even throughout the day with soap and water, to help kill germs that do make you sick. But evidence also shows that some germ exposure can actually strengthen your immune system and help prevent allergies. And then actually an overly sterile environment might be bad because your body then doesn't build up any immunity
sure.
to what it is then, what it may be exposed to down the road. Good bacteria are also key for staying healthy, particularly for the skin and the digestive tract. So being a germaphobe isn't going to necessarily keep you healthy. And delaying medical care. And I'm
a culprit for that.
I know. And I'm actually bringing this up because my, I actually had an experience with this where I had an infection in my leg. And
you remember that?
Yeah. And I didn't get it treated. I thought it was just a burst cyst under my skin. And I didn't get it treated. It just got worse. And then I ended up being hospitalized for 3 days because they thought it had become a MRSA infection.
Ooh.
Yeah. And fortunately, it wasn't. But I was still in hospital isolation for 3 years because I didn't.
3 weeks. 3 days.
3 days. 3 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, 3 days. I was in isolation for 3 days. So, my mother-in-law actually just had a heart attack a couple of weeks ago as well.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. She's fine now, but it was the same thing. She had symptoms for a week before she finally, it got so bad that she couldn't breathe and decided, yeah. But she knew for a week that she wasn't, something was wrong. So people often stall or they can, they make excuses for symptoms, but a rapid treatment can help prevent permanent heart or brain damage. Right.
You've had your share of medical issues.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. So it's really important. And I think we're all kind of culprits for, it's no big deal. We're all good and get to it next week.
Oh,
or
it'll
I'm too
be
busy. Or it'll get better.
Yeah, right.
But if there's really an issue, it's just going to continue to get worse until you get treated. And especially if you're having stroke or heart attack symptoms, you don't want to delay on getting medical care for that. Next is exercising alone to lose weight is not an effective means of weight loss. Regular exercise is crucial and important for maintaining a healthy weight, but you're not going to lose any weight if you're exercising like crazy and then going out and eating, you know.
Oh, you mean you shouldn't go out and have a McDonald's Big Mac?
Ironically, no.
Exercise?
No, you really shouldn't. You should kind of, you know, find the balance.
Can you go from the extremely large fry to the small bag?
You know what? Sure, you know, you can. Yeah, that is one change that you can make. And I say that because some people just, you know, that's progress for them, and that's success.
Goes back to what you were saying a few weeks ago when you said that if you have a craving for something, have it.
Exactly.
Because if you don't, then you're going to eat everything else under the sun and not feel satisfied.
That's exactly right. Right. So if you're used to having an extra large fry and you switch to small fries, that's progress.
That's progress.
You know,
right?
That's a success to be celebrated.
Yep,
it really is. You know, people exercise until they're blue in the face and they get frustrated because they're not losing weight. But the reality is you need to find a healthy balance between exercise and diet to be successful in weight loss.
It's like the guy who went into since we're talking about Mickey D's, I'll say it. He went into McDonald's and he ordered they had this special going on. So he had a quarter pounder with cheese, a Big Mac, a large order of fries and a Diet Coke.
Oh,
and his friend says, why are you having a Diet Coke? He says, well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So now all of this stuff is going to be on our website?
It is. It's going to be on our Facebook page at Chicago Beacon, as well as Twitter, which is at Chicago Beacon.
All right. Yep. Sounds very good. And we'll look with bated breath, standing here waiting to see what you have to share with us next week.
Very exciting.
She's Lainey Kleeman, and she let us turn up the beat.
Every day, PACE is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends changed plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular PACE buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard PACE Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the PACE Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PACEBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. PACE, connecting communities.
Well, are you ready to take that walk down the street?
Always.
Make that turn at the corner and head up the block where you see that little house where the swing that used to hang there is just a pile of ashes in the front yard where they decided to make marshmallows last fall. So they got to clean all that up.
You paint such a pretty picture.
Do I? Yes.
You really do. So very vivid.
You walk up, you knock on the door.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, they're not always listening, so you plow your way in. And what we see on the couch is Tom Persky and Brian Hawkins in
Tom's Corner.
Welcome into Tom's Corner. I'm Brian Hawkins, and today, the MagnaLink Zip. What is it and why you should buy it? And also an update on the Aware app. And Tom Persky's here to tell us all about that.
Correct.
Good morning.
Brian, good morning. Good morning. MagnaLink Zip, I wanted to talk about that because it's kind of a new category, I think, is the way we see it,
mm-hmm.
for desktop video magnifiers, and we used to call CCTVs, which have been around since the mid to late 70s, and they're very helpful for persons with macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy, persons who have difficulty reading, because of, you know, the main idea is being able to dial in the amount of magnification that you can normally not get from an optical magnifier.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who needs something 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, or even 30 times the normal size, they can just turn the dial and begin to read. Now, the bigger you make it, it doesn't all fit on the screen. So in the old days, the actual camera was not high definition, and so that's been kind of a standard now for about 2 years that everything's coming out, which does a couple things. It makes the image much, much sharper, but it also, you get more on the screen at one time. So those with not as severe vision impairment could see maybe like two columns of the newspaper at one time, or even sometimes a page, a whole page of a book, which means if you can do that, then you don't have to move the XY table from left to right to scan back and forth to read. And that's a huge, huge advantage. But what's new about the MagnaLink Zip that everybody really likes, and I wanted to highlight it today, is the fact that it's, well, it's a high-quality unit that looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it folds completely flat. And you can, it actually comes with a really nice upgraded briefcase, should I call it, or with a shoulder strap and a nice quality handle. So in, we've never had a foldable machine like that that really makes it easy to move it from place to place within your home, or if you're traveling and you do want to take it with you, to be able to have a really nice case like that.
Right.
And you can take it with you on the airplane or in the car if you go traveling. And that's really a convenient help. So they recently upgraded the briefcase, and they upgraded the camera. One of the unique features of the MagnaLink Zip is the camera can be rotated. And the new features is you can rotate that camera to point out in the distance. So if you have you're sitting at your desk and you've got a bird feeder out in the yard, you can point it right at the bird feeder, and when the bird lands on the bird feeder, you can make it 30 or 40 times the normal size, so you can see the feathers of the bird, which I've seen somebody do in their home, and she started to cry one day. She was so excited as her hobby could be done.
She's a bird watcher.
Yeah, for a student to be able to see across the room. The new MagnaLink Zip, also the camera rotates 180 degrees back towards you, so there's now a self-viewing feature, which is really nice in high definition. If you don't have any wrinkles, it's really nice. But yeah. Imagine, you know, being able to see, did I shave okay? Or for the ladies to see if their makeup's on correctly and so forth. It's really kind of a nice personal item to be able to have that. And so the MagnaLink does all that. Another nice feature is they have a small screen, which is not very overwhelming. It's 13 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And for many people, it's all the screen that they need. They also make a screen size that's 17 inches and is nice and big. Of course, you're usually sitting close to that, and putting your pen under there for writing, put a bottle of pills under there for reading, all kinds of things. And as I mentioned, having it in high definition. And then you have the choice of a brightness knob, which many people have taken the brightness knob off of a lot of machines, but you know, a lot of eye conditions really respond well to being able to adjust that brightness, because glare and sensitivity to light is really an issue for many, many people. So dimming it down when you need it, or if you're looking at a photograph that's kind of dark,
right,
you can make it much, much brighter. So it gives you that flexibility one way or the other.
Okay.
So the other features of the Zip is that you can add a battery system now for the first time, and being able to literally take it with you anywhere. This battery will last 8 or 9 hours during the day. So it's an expensive feature, because it's about a $600 upgrade, but we've never been able to offer that before. And so these are some really nice features about it. What I wanted to highlight today for the first time is those persons who are interested in purchasing the MagnaLink Zip, we are actually making, for a limited time offer, a portable video magnifier that we've highlighted on this show before, called the Mobile Lux Touch. And it has a touch screen capability. It looks like a small stand magnifier that sits right on the page, and it can go from 1X all the way up to 15X. You can use the touchscreen to change the colors and the price. The retail value is $695, and we are offering that for free for anyone for a limited time who wants to purchase a MagnaLink Zip.
Wow. Okay.
So it's, we've never done that before, but we just think this is a great opportunity to do that. So I did want to highlight that today and talk about that. So if people are interested, they can call our store. It's 1-800-919-3375. 1-800-919-3375. And invest in what you would have is a really nice flexible desktop unit.
Right.
And with the free portable, now you've got everything you're going to need probably for the next 10 years because these devices really work great. And
okay.
They're the latest and the greatest.
All right. So, sounds like a very good deal.
It really does. It's really good. I wanted to give you an update. We talked about the beacon technology,
mm-hmm.
and we continually test that here at the Lighthouse. And these are small beacons that are mounted on the ceiling in different areas of a building. We've done it here at the Lighthouse on our main corridor, in our cafeteria, and even small beacons we've placed on the vending machines. So, with the use of an iPhone, opening this free app called Aware, persons can now enter the Lighthouse, and as they walk down the hall, they're going to hear rooms, different rooms being announced, or as you get to the vending machine, it'll announce this is the drink machine, this is the snack machine. And then by placing tapping the top right part of the screen, you're going to get a full description of what's going on. So I have the app in front of me now. I thought I would just kind of show how it works. Right at the top, we've see in giant letters cafeteria, or for those who are totally blind, it will say it out loud when you pass the cafeteria.
Okay.
And then if I tap the top right part of the screen, you'll hear a description.
Void Aware. On your right, when you enter the cafeteria, is the food counter, cashier, and soda dispenser. Continue past these to find the men's and women's bathrooms on the right. On the left, you will find change, food and drink vending machines, and the ATM. The cafeteria is around 1,000 square feet open space. Facing you when you enter are 10 horizontal rows of tables surrounded with chairs. Behind the tables on the opposite wall there is a door to the outside sitting area. Back. Button. Unmute. Button. Repeat. Button. Speak. Button. Current location. Cafeteria. More info. Button.
The other neat feature about it is if there is a glitch or whatever, that we email the company and they just change the software at their headquarters. And when you walk down the hall, your phone says downloading new information, and it makes it like an immediate change.
Mm.
So it's upgradable, one of the rooms change, which happens all around here quite a bit.
You're right.
We're going to be right up to snuff with
okay.
that. Yeah, yeah.
All right, the Aware app update, and you can get that at the Apple Store, right?
That's correct, the App Store, right? Just simply type in Aware, and if you're coming to the building and you have an iPhone, this will be a way for you to test it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to be available. We're going to be showing it to, once we feel like it's 100% working well, which we're almost there, we will be able to show it to other organizations who may be interested, and so we'll be able to demonstrate it. So if you're a part of an organization, you'd like to see how it works and are considering maybe putting it in your facility, give us a call.
Now, you're on the road again.
We are, coming up, right, this week. Is our first show back in August. It's going to be in Merrillville, Indiana, which is the Tradewinds organization. It's a nonprofit organization. It's an open house from 10 to 3 o'clock that day. So feel free to come yourself, family members in Merrillville, Indiana. If you'd like to number it of how to get there is 219-945-0100. So 219, again, 945 0100.
Okay.
So looking forward to that. And August 31st, we'll be at the Frankfort Township office again from 10 to 3. And we're doing our what we call our low vision product show of many, many products, technology, independent living aids. Or just come and talk and meet us. And if you know someone who's experiencing vision loss and would like to know all the things that are out there to help, please come and check us out.
All right. That'll be cool. All right, folks, don't forget the MagnaLink Zip and that special offer. And what you also get the portable device?
The Mobile Lux Touch.
Right.
Yeah.
If you purchase the MagnaLink Zip.
Right.
And the Aware app, that's downloadable at, I guess, the Apple App Store.
App Store, right.
All right.
Right.
Well, he's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
It was a good show.
Good information.
You betcha.
Absolutely. And you know, so many people get misguided by articles in new magazines that are well-intentioned but don't necessarily actually add to your health.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, in defense of everybody out there, there's so much mixed information out there. And I am in by no means saying that what I'm preaching here is gospel, because you can go on the internet and find something that's counterindicative to everything that I just said.
Of course.
So I'm fully aware of
that. The internet had me dead 4 years ago.
Exactly.
That, so that's it.
Exactly.
Thanks to Dr. Janice Lick, our executive director at the Chicago Lighthouse, for making the show possible. Also, Sandra Murillo, associate producer, Brian Hawkins, our technical supervisor and assistant director at Chris Radio, and of course, Lainey Kleeman.
That is I.
Who provides us with all this very helpful information as well.
Thank you so much.
I'm Bill Jurek. Mighty House guys are dragging all their stuff in here now, so I don't know what they have planned.
Well, we better scooch on out.
We're going to get out of here, and I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around for the Mighty House guys coming up next on Chicago's Progressive Talk.